Baha'u'llah was the teacher and the founder of the Baha'i faith. He and his teachings are believed to be prophesied in Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and other religions. Baha'u'llah was born in 1817 in Tehran, Persia, in present-day Iran. The word Baha means glory or splendor. The Baha'i faith rests on three core principles: unity of God, unity of religion, and unity of mankind. Approximately 7 million people today in many countries adhere to the Baha'i faith. Their scriptures are translated into 800 languages, and there are houses of worship in just about every corner of the world. Baha'i principles envision an ideal society. They are gender equality, elimination of all forms of prejudice, whether religious, racial, class, or national, harmony of religion and science, universal opportunity of education for all, a universal auxiliary language which all humanity can use to cooperate quickly with one another, a judicious world government, and the elimination of extremes of wealth and poverty. Many people, like the Baha'i followers, see a noble society as a real goal to be pursued in everyday life. Today we present the sage wisdom of Baha'u'llah with excerpts from the holy book, Gems of Divine Mysteries.
Gems of Divine Mysteries. The essence of the divine mysteries in the journeys of ascent set forth for those who long to draw nigh unto God, the Almighty, the ever-forgiving. Blessed be the righteous that quaff from these crystal streams.
He is the Exalted, the Most High.
All that thou hast heard regarding Muhammad, the son of Hassan, may the souls of all that are immersed in the oceans of the Spirit be offered up for his sake, is true beyond the shadow of a doubt, and we all verily bear allegiance unto him. But the Imams of faith have fixed his abode in the city of Jabuka, which they have depicted in strange and marvelous signs. To interpret the city according to the literal meaning of the tradition would indeed prove impossible, nor can such a city ever be found. Wert thou to search the uttermost corners of the earth, nay, probe its length and breadth, for as long as God's eternity hath lasted, and his sovereignty will endure, thou wouldest never find a city such as they have described. For the entirety of the earth could neither contain nor encompass it. If thou wouldest lead me into this city, I would assuredly lead thee unto this holy being, whom the people have conceived according to what they possess, and not to that which pertaineth unto him. Since this is not in thy power, thou hast no recourse but to interpret symbolically the accounts and traditions that have been reported from these luminous souls. And, as such an interpretation is needed for traditions pertaining to the aforementioned city, so too is it required for this holy being. When thou hast understood this interpretation, thou shalt no longer stand in need of transformation, or aught else.
Know then that, inasmuch as all the prophets are but one and the same soul, spirit, name, and attribute, thou must likewise see them all as bearing the name Muhammad, and as being the son of Hassan, as having appeared from the Jabulka of God's power, and from the Jabulsa of his mercy. For by Jabulka is meant none other than the treasure houses of eternity in the all-highest heaven, and the cities of the unseen in the supernatural realm. We bear witness that Muhammad, the son of Hassan, was indeed in Jabulka, and appeared therefrom. Likewise, he whom God shall make manifest abideth in that city until such time as God will have established him upon the seat of his sovereignty. We, verily, acknowledge this truth, and bear allegiance unto each and every one of them. We have chosen here to be brief in our elucidation of the meanings of Jabulka, But if thou be of them that truly believe, thou shalt indeed comprehend all the true meanings of the mysteries enshrined within these tablets.
But as to him who appeared in the year 60, he standeth in need of neither transformation nor interpretation, for his name was Muhammad, and he was a descendant of the Imams of faith. Thus it can be truly said of him that he was the son of Hassan, as is undoubtedly clear and evident unto thine eminence. Nay, he it is who fashioned that name and created it for himself, were ye to observe with the eye of God. It is our wish at this juncture to digress from our theme, to recount that which befell the point of the Quran, and to extol his remembrance, that perchance thou mayest gain into all things an insight born of him, who is the Almighty, the Incomparable.
Consider and reflect upon his days when God raised him up to promote his cause and to stand as the representative of his own self. Witness how he was assailed, denied, and denounced by all, how, when he set foot in the streets and marketplaces, the people derided him, wagged their heads at him, and laughed him to scorn, how at every moment they sought to slay him. Such were their doings that the earth in all its vastness was straitened for him, the concourse on high bewailed his plight, the foundations of existence were reduced to nothingness, and the eyes of the well-favored denizens of his kingdom wept sore over him. Indeed, so grievous were the afflictions which the wicked showered upon him that no faithful soul can bear to hear them.
If these wayward souls had indeed paused to reflect upon their conduct, recognized the sweet melodies of that mystic dove singing upon the twigs of the snow-white tree, embraced that which God had revealed unto and bestowed upon them, and discovered the fruits of the tree of God upon its branches, wherefore then did they reject and denounce him? Had they not lifted their heads to the heavens to employ his appearance? Had they not besought God at every moment to honor them with his beauty and sustain them through his presence?
But as they failed to recognize the accents of God and the divine mysteries and holy allusions enshrined in that which flowed from the tongue of Muhammad, and as they neglected to examine the matter in their own hearts and followed instead those priests of error who have hindered the progress of the people in past dispensations and who will continue to do so in future cycles, they were thus veiled from the divine purpose, failed to quaff from the celestial streams, and deprived themselves of the presence of God, the manifestation of his essence, and the dayspring of his eternity. Thus did they wander in the paths of delusion and the ways of heedlessness, and return to their abode in that fire which feedeth on their own souls. These, verily, are numbered with the infidels whose names have been inscribed by the pen of God in his holy book. Nor have they ever found, or ever will find, a friend or helper.
Had these souls but clung steadfastly to the handle of God, manifested in the person of Muhammad, had they turned wholly unto God and cast aside all that they had learned from their divines, he would assuredly have guided them through his grace and acquainted them with the sacred truths that are enshrined within his imperishable utterances. For far be it from his greatness and his glory that he should turn away a seeker at his door, cast aside from his threshold one who hath set his hopes on him, reject one who hath sought the shelter of his shade, deprive one who hath held fast to the hem of his mercy, or condemn to remoteness the poor one who hath found the river of his riches. But as these people fail to turn wholly unto God, and to hold fast to the hem of his all-pervading mercy, at the appearance of the day star of truth, they pass out from under the shadow of guidance, and enter the city of error.
Know then that when Muhammad, the point of the Quran and the light of the All-Glorious, came with perspicuous verses and luminous proofs manifested in such signs as are beyond the power of all existence to produce, he bade all men follow this lofty and outstretched path in accordance with the precepts that he had brought from God. Whoso acknowledged him, recognized the signs of God in his inmost being, and saw in his beauty the changeless beauty of God, the decree of resurrection, ingathering, life, and paradise, was passed upon him. For he who had believed in God and in the manifestation of his beauty was raised from the grave of heedlessness, gathered together in the sacred ground of the heart, quickened to the life of faith and certitude, and admitted into the paradise of the divine presence. What paradise can be loftier than this? What ingathering mightier? And what resurrection greater? Indeed, should a soul be acquainted with these mysteries, he would grasp that which none other had fathomed.
Know then that the paradise that appeareth in the day of God surpasseth every other paradise, and excelleth the realities of heaven. For when God, blessed and glorified is he, sealed the station of prophethood in the person of him who was his friend, his chosen one, his treasure amongst his creatures, as hath been revealed from the kingdom of glory. But he is the apostle of God and the seal of the prophets. He promised all men that they shall attain unto his own presence in the day of resurrection. In this he meant to emphasize the greatness of the revelation to come, as it hath indeed been manifested through the power of truth. And there is of a certainty no paradise greater than this, nor station higher, should ye reflect upon the verses of the Quran. Blessed be he who knoweth of a certainty that he shall attain unto the presence of God on that day when his beauty shall be made manifest.
Were I to recount all the verses that have been revealed in connection with this exalted theme, it would weary the reader and divert us from our purpose. The following verse shall therefore suffice us. May thine eyes be solaced therewith, and mayest thou attain unto that which hath been treasured and concealed therein. It is God who hath reared the heavens, without pillars thou canst behold, then mounted his throne and imposed laws on the sun and moon. Each traveleth to its appointed goal. He ordereth all things. He maketh his signs clear, that ye may have firm faith in the presence of your Lord.
Ponder then, O my friend, the words firm faith that have been mentioned in this verse. It saith that the heavens and the earth, the throne, the sun and the moon, all have been created to the end that his servants may have unswerving faith in his presence in his days. By the righteousness of God, contemplate, O my brother, the greatness of the station, and behold the condition of the people in these days, fleeing from the countenance of God and his beauty, as though they were frightened asses. Wert thou to reflect upon that which we have revealed unto thee, thou wouldest undoubtedly grasp our purpose in this utterance, and discover that which we have desired to impart unto thee within this paradise. Perchance thine eyes may rejoice in beholding it, thine ears take delight in hearing that which is recited therein. Thy soul be enthralled by recognizing it, thy heart illumined by comprehending it, and thy spirit gladdened by the fragrant breezes that waft therefrom. Haply thou mayest attain unto the pinnacle of divine grace and abide within the Ridvan, or paradise, of transcendent holiness.
Thank you for your happy presence for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples here on Supreme Master Television. Animal World, our co-inhabitants, is up next after Noteworthy News. May heaven grace your life with truth, virtue, and beauty.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.
The words station from, and this thine ear
next
forward.